The session is called to order. As agreed, this morning, we will first of all take the motion filed by the defense for the transfer and the protection of detained witnesses. I will immediately give the floor to Mr. Changai to make an oral presentation of his motion. We have it in writing. We already have it in writing. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Your Honours, I filed a motion, this motion before this tribunal asking for the transfer to Arusha and the protection of a number of witnesses who are held in custody at the moment in Rwanda. I would first of all like to state that the Office of the Prosecutor has disclosed to the defense statements made by many prosecution witnesses, and many of these witnesses have been mentioned. They have also appeared before your tribunal. The defense has realized that some witnesses were not mentioned by the prosecutor. We also realized that the prosecutor does not intend to make them appear before this tribunal. We simply want to take appropriate and relevant measures with regard to Rule 28 of the Rules of Procedure and Evidence, which provides the prosecutor shall inform the defense as soon as possible of the existence of evidence available to it which may exculpate partially or wholly the accused, or which could impair the prosecution evidence, unquote. We think that in this system where there is no judge which cross-examines for the prosecution and the defense, it is the duty of the prosecution to provide to the defense information that may exculpate or inculpate partially the accused. From the moment we realize that the prosecution does not intend to mention the witnesses, we thought it was our duty to use the relevant provisions of Rule 78 of the Rules of Procedure and Evidence. In the interest of witnesses, I will not mention their names, which I already mentioned in my motion. I am saying that these witnesses referred to at the moment are held in the prisons of Rwanda, and the law, Rule 90 of the Rules of Procedure and Evidence enables the tribunal to order the appearance of these witnesses, and I respectfully ask the tribunal to apply this rule. I will also ask that I should be granted that these witnesses benefit from the provisions of the rules of procedure and evidence. These are the comments, Mr. President, which I wanted to make in asking you to grant my motion. Thank you. I will give the floor to the prosecution to comment on these observations.
Your Honors, we have no opposition to the defense request. Thank you.
Thank you, Prosecutor. The tribunal would now deliver its decision. Considering that by a motion filed this day, the counsel of the accused, Jean-Paul Akayesu, requests the chamber to order the transfer to Arusha of witnesses whose names have been mentioned in the motion, who at the moment are detained in Rwanda. Considering that for the defense, these witnesses may be for the accused of some importance because their statements may be of a nature as to exculpate partially or in whole the accused, or in any case could impair the prosecution evidence. Whereas on this request, the prosecutor has stated that he's not opposed to the said request. After having deliberated thereon, whereas pursuant to Rule 90A-B of the Rules of Procedure and Evidence, anybody detained as a witness on the orders of the tribunal will be temporarily transferred to the UNDF, provided that he will return at the end of the deadline fixed by the tribunal. Whereas, according to paragraph B of the said rule, the order to transfer can be issued only under the following conditions. One, the presence of the detained witness is not necessary on the state of the, on the territory of the country where the person is detained. Secondly, that his transfer is not likely to extend the duration of his detention as provided or as required by the state requested. Whereas, by letter forwarded to the tribunal, the Minister of Justice of Rwanda, I think the letter that I've given to the interpreter should be translated. We don't have it, Mr. President. We are working off the cuffs. Don't give the names.
There's no English translation.
Okay. Okay.
You have to put it on record.
So you continue with the 2 points only, with the first and second points.
It's not necessary to interpret in English. I cannot
speak. We'll do one thing. The interpreter in English will of the English booth will read in English and you will interpret into French. Is that possible? The Ministry of Justice, in fulfillment of requirements of Rule 90 bis, the Rules of Procedure and Evidence of the ICTR, confirms that the above-named suspects currently detained at the Taba Commune Cachot will not be required for any criminal proceedings in Rwanda for a period of 2 months from the date hereof, that their transfer to Arusha will not exceed the period of their detention in Rwanda. Now, these are the two conditions provided for in Rule 90 bis, and as soon as they are fulfilled, it will be possible to order the transfer of the persons mentioned above to the detention facility of the tribunal, provided that at the end of the deadline fixed by the tribunal, they will be returned to Rwanda. This time limit will not exceed 2 months, period during which Rwandan courts will not need the above-mentioned persons. It is also necessary for the chamber to respond to the defense's motion, that these persons be cited before the tribunal and that they be protected, in particular that the right to anonymity, their right to anonymity be respected. That right provides that such persons, their identity should not be disclosed to the public and the media, and that they should not be photographed, filmed, or be the subject of a sketch during their presence within the premises of the tribunal. The defense also proposes that certain pseudonyms be ascribed to each of these witnesses. These pseudonyms will be used during court hearings. The names attached to the pseudonyms will be included in the decisions to be communicated to the parties. On these grounds, the Chamber of the Tribunal orders the transfer of the persons referred to above to the UN detention facility in Arusha on the proviso that they will be returned within a time limit of 2 months fixed by the tribunal. Orders the registrar to request the Rwandan authorities to transfer the suspects, and that pursuant to Rule 90 bis paragraph D, to ensure that the transfer takes place under good conditions, including their detention in the detention facility in Arusha. It is so decided, done in Arusha, 30 October 1997. I think the date is 31 October, not 30 October. Council Tianga, I give you the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. Thank you, Mr. President. Bring in witness KK. Good morning, witness KK. I will give the floor to the defense for the cross-examination of the witness. Counsel, you have the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. Good evening, madam. Good evening. Since how many years do you know Mr. Akayesu? I do not know for how long I have known him, apart from the fact that I used to see him when he was teaching at the Romera School. I also knew him when he was our buckmaster. What was the nature of the relationship existing between you and Mr. Akayesu? We were not neighbors. I am a native of a place very close to the Bureau Communal, below a hill. Are you also a native of Taba? Yes. How many children had you? 9 children. How many of them are still alive? Only 2. Only 2. If I understand you very well, the others died during the events. Yes. What is the age of the children who are still surviving? One of them is a young man who is about 22 years old. The other is a girl of 14 years. Where were these 2 children when their brothers and sisters were being killed? One of them took refuge in the prefecture of Kigali, in the home of his paternal aunt. Later on, I had to leave the commune because houses were searched, and anyone who hit someone was asked to pay a fine. Therefore, I had to go with the others to seek refuge in the Bugoba sector. Orders were given for houses to be searched. Houses were searched, and when they were found, they were thrown into a river. And the child who survived was able to survive because she did not drown. She spent 2 days in the river, and a benefactor came and pulled her out of there. And I saw her only after the war. Did your daughter know how to swim? No, she did not know how to swim. It is as if God was performing a miracle. And if she did not know how to swim, how could she survive for 2 days on the river? I am saying that she did not know how to swim. We're not living close to a river. She was a young child. It is those who were older than her who died. Does she know other children who were thrown in the river and who were able to survive? I hear some of them witnessing in churches, and some of them talk about the miracles that God performed for them. But I do not know their names. You stated that you took refuge in the Bureau Communal. How many days did this happen after the president's plane crashed? We heard of the plane crash the following day, and people started getting divided. And when a Hutu looked at a Tutsi, it was with an evil eye, and people started moving about with traditional weapons. People started looting our property, and we sought refuge on the hills. They destroyed houses and ate our cows, and we spent the night on the hill. It is the following day that we took refuge in our commune. You took refuge in your commune from 8 April. I do not remember the date. The accident took place on the 6th of April. You were informed of the accident on the 7th, and you are saying that it is the following day you went to the Bureau Communal. That means that it is on the 8th. We spent the night on the hill. We reached the commune, but this was after having spent the night on the hill. On that date, had killings already started in Taba? Killings had not yet started in Taba. Did killings begin in the neighboring communes? Killings had started in the Runda commune because there are people who sought refuge from that commune in our commune. And those who were Tutsis were killed there. And why did killings did not begin in the Taba commune? I do not know the reason. The inhabitants of Taba, did they not organize themselves to defend themselves against the Interahamwes? I did not see that. It is the Buckmaster who heads the commune. If he had been able to stop the Interahamwe who were killing, he would have imprisoned some of them. I think in that case they would not have undertaken killings. And he had the power among the people he was heading or leading. He never left the commune for us to say that the killings took place in his absence. He escaped like any other person escaped. After the government in place now took power. That is why We felt that he did nothing good for us. And all of this happened in his presence. Can you give me a single example of where a Buckmaster has been able to prevent killings in his commune? I do not know of any place where that happened, but what I saw and what I know is that he gave orders. Thank you, says the council. There were many. All those who were Tutsis at the Taba commune sought refuge at the Bureau Communal. And when they learned that they were going to be killed, those who were able to take another direction were able to survive. But since there were roadblocks almost everywhere, some of them fell on the roadblocks and were killed there and then. How many days did you spend at the Bureau Communal? Very often I went to the Bureau Communal and I told you that I am a native of an area which is very close to the Bureau Communal. So very often I strolled around that area in the hope that I will hear the Buckmaster say killings should stop. I was waiting for this to happen, but it never happened. But since I had no house to live in, I was watching over the place where I had hidden my children, and I was strolling very close to the Bureau Communal to see whether the Buckmaster could be of any use to us. But this never happened. Nothing happened to bring the killings to an end. On the contrary, killings continued until the meeting that I talked to you about was held. And those who were hidden or who were kept in hiding places by other persons, others were given that those persons should be sought, as nobody was involved in farming. The burgomaster was no longer working in his office. Everybody were involved in killing. You mean to say the burgomaster was involved in killing? Yes, he was moving about everywhere looking for people. And even a person who had taken refuge in another commune, somebody went to look for him there. And they came back singing, saying that they had killed that person. Is that? I am talking about Akayesu, the burgomaster. Can you give a name? Can you give the name of somebody whom Akayesu went to kill in a neighboring commune? Somebody called Rukunda Kuvuga. That person comes from which commune? He comes from the Taba commune. In which commune was that person killed? That person was killed in the Taba commune after he had been brought from where he had sought refuge. He was killed in a forest very close to a road coming from Gachura Genge. It was a forest which was above the place where he was living. In which commune was that person located? In the Kayenzi commune. Sometimes they came with Interahamwes from Musambira, and they helped them in the killings. Do you know the name of the burgomaster of Kayenzi? No, I did not know him. But they came saying that they had located the person in the Kayenzi commune. Where did you hide your children? First of all, I hid them in my house. But since this was very close to the bureau commune, where there was a lot of intensive searching, I hid them in sorghum fields, because anybody in whose house they were found or they would be found had to pay a fine or his house destroyed, and his cows would also be taken away, and these cows would be given as a compensation to the Interahamwes who were killing. And each peasant who took the trouble of hiding a Tutsi preferred driving the Tutsi away, because we couldn't hear the interpreter very well. You spent several days at the Bureau Communal. What were you living on? The people where I was born gave me food to eat, and I gave some of the food to the children. And when the search started, as I told you, I could no longer find food. When people saw us, they drove us away. We lived in sorghum fields. And where there were sweet potatoes, I dug them up. And before the death of my children, I gave them these raw potatoes for food. If I tell you that they died in an atrocious manner because they were also very hungry. Were your children killed or did they die of hunger? I told you that they were thrown into a river while I was in another sector. This was after this meeting. There was a search, an extraordinary search, and even someone hidden in a hole was located. You said a lot about the Interahamwes. How many Interahamwes were there at the Bureau Communal? The Interahamwes were many. Because all the peasants had received instructions to kill. And even if they were not members of the Interahamwe, they also undertook killing. And even if you had to put people in prison, you wouldn't know who to imprison and who to leave out. Because even mothers undertook killing. How do you distinguish Interahamwes from the other killers? There were political parties in our country. There were Interahamwes. It was said that there were members of the MRND party. There was the MDR. And other political parties whose names I do not remember. All of this has changed. They changed the MDR into power, MDR power. All the peasants, when the peasants heard what the Tutsis were going to do after the country must have been taken over by the Inkotanyis, they all undertook killing. And we saw that they were killers, but without as much saying that they were Interahamwes. The Interahamwes came together. The word Interahamwe means coming together. But they changed this name because they use a name to kill. That is why you cannot say who exactly were the Interahamwes and or what Interahamwe was, but would instead say that there was a lot of killing in Rwanda. It is not a single party that did that did the killings. Everybody was involved because it was thought that when the Tutsis were going to take over the country, they were going to harm those people. The heart of the mind of each Rwandan changed. The person with whom you shared food, and even the person from whom you asked for drinking water, thought that you were hiding something from him, and that what you were hiding was that the Tutsis were going to kill the Hutus. They therefore got angry. They started spreading rumors, saying that when the Inkotanyis caught someone, they opened the person's stomach. It was said that the Inkotanyis, when they sought refuge, they were Tutsis, and that they were now struggling to return to the country in order to kill all the Hutus so that the country should be populated only by the Tutsis. Do you know Mr. Ruhugu Gamasiril? Could you repeat the name, Council? Mr. Ruhugu Gamasiril. He was our Member of Parliament. Was he also a member of the Interahamwe?
Rugama was an Interahamwe. Because among the orders that were given during the meeting, there were which concerned him, coming from him. I told you that he gave orders saying that we are telling you to kill. He's telling them to kill the Tutsis, but they are not exterminating them. Yet, the Inkotanyis have captured the country and are inside the country. And when they come, they open people up, Hutus up, and before killing them, they torture them. And if you don't do it quickly, when they come, I will go and jump into the Nyamurongo River. I do not know his political party. I only know that he was a member of parliament. I saw that he had a big role in the meeting. And himself and his wife, they got involved in politics. They were everywhere, politics-wise. There were places where they held meetings. He and his wife are in prison in Taba community. It seems like he had some responsibilities in the killings of his neighbors. Yes, but I saw him at that location. There were people at the roadblocks. And others were sent to the roadblock, which was close at Tamoni. Are you a member of an association, a women's association? No. I am a peasant. I don't have a job. I am a farmer, says the witness. Have you been interviewed by journalists before coming here? Some people came and asked me questions on the killings in Tababa. Do you tell us what you told them? What I told them is the same thing I've just told you. Can you tell us the name of this newspaper? I don't know the name of the paper. I just saw them where I was. Where I was living in a camp. I was not involved about where they came from or what they did. They asked me questions and they took notes. Do these journalists, were these journalists Rwandan or foreign? Sometimes they were Rwandans and sometimes white people. Because we were asked a lot of questions and about the killings that took place in Taba. There are some who came, and I was forced to show them where we reburied the rest of the dead, because they did not believe that people could be killed in that manner. Are you the only person who has been interviewed by these journalists? They did not tell me beforehand. They always came by surprise. And they knew us because of the problems each of us had encountered. And there are organizations which came to see us often. And at one point, the people came together. And they asked each person what had happened to them during the war, personally. And each one told their story. And the story spread. That's how journalists heard about us. Do you belong to an association, a widow's association? Yes, I belong to a widow's association, but I do not attend the meetings. During the events, the bloody events in Rwanda, in Taba, didn't the population organize themselves to defend themselves against the Interahamwes from other communes? I did not see that. You understand, I was a woman, a housewife. I stayed at home. I was taking care of the children. You know the number of children I had. I could not walk around too much to find out what was happening. I only learned it later when they came to destroy our houses. At what point did they destroy your house? After the day after the death of Javier Imana. Even in 1990, this is where houses belonging to Tutsis were destroyed, in this commune of Taba. And so the people who lived in this area, so the people of Taba reacted to that quickly. Those who had been imprisoned in 1990 had been released. They were very, very angry. Thank you very much, Mr. President. The witness, in their sector, that there was the most Tutsis were killed than anywhere else. That has never been translated as 1991, and I followed this very well. Go on, counsel. Thank you, Mr. President. Do you know the people who destroyed your house? Some of them, I know. Some are in prison. How about the others? The others are free. The people who did wrong are very many, and there's not enough prison space. Did these people act spontaneously, or did they receive instructions from somebody? We do not know, but we think that they received orders in the meetings they held. When they still had parties, they held meetings at night, not during the day. Who held the meetings? I did not attend these meetings, but I heard people say. I did not go to these meetings, but I had people talk about them, saying that their meetings were being held, and this was because of the political parties. You've talked about a teacher who was killed. He was teaching in Remera School in Rukoma. Who is that person? I talked about a teacher who started the primary school. His name was Rukunda Kuvuga. And others from Remera, who they were taken away, there were the person who lived behind the communal office, or the Bureau Communal. Is that after the death of this teacher that you took refuge at the Bureau Communal, or was it before? No teacher took refuge at the Bureau Communal. They were picked up where they were. And they started by this, the teachers. You did not understand my question. Was it after or before the death of this teacher that you took refuge at the Bureau Communal? It was before the death of the teacher. You took refuge at the Bureau Communal between the 7th and the 8th of April. If I understand correctly, this teacher must have been killed on the 6th. No. So what date was this teacher killed? Even though I don't remember the date when this person was killed, you have just explained that the president's airplane, the Javier Imana's plane, crashed on the 6th. And the teacher was killed afterwards, after that date. Afterwards, after we had gone to the Bureau Communal. I would like to be more exact with the dates. I did not know the dates because at the time I had lost my mind. When they destroyed my one's house is destroyed and one has to flee with one's children, one, and I quote, the prosecutor asked you the following question: when did you realize, when did you go to the Bureau Communal? Your answer was, and I quote, I went to the Bureau Communal on the day after of the death of the president. Yes. The president died on the 6th of April. And you say you are at the Bureau Communal on the next day. It can only be on the 7th of April. I note that you come back to the dates and you, I do not mention dates. I have told you that on that day, we spent the night on the hill in the woods. Mr. President, I'd like for the clarity of the debate, the testimony of this witness be debated. That's all. We ask that this statement be included in the file. Thank you. Mr. President, ladies and gentlemen, it would be tedious on my part to ask the witness to give me precise exact dates, 6th, 7th, or 9th. I think there is a logic that we should follow. She said that she went to the Bureau Communal the day after the death of the president. The day after the death of the president, it can only be on the 7th. She also states that she went there after the death of the teacher that we mentioned. At what page? And she also said that she hid in the forest first. It was the day, the 2 days later, that she went to the Bureau Communal. Counsel, you have the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. Do you know Mr. Pierre Terrier? I told you that I did not know this person. That I said I knew this person. Have you known this person?
I heard people talk about him because he came from another commune. He was a native of our commune. It was said that he was intelligent. Therefore, everybody wanted to know who the Terrier was and wanted to know him. Do you know the nature of relations that existed between Mr. Terrier and Mr. Kayesu? No, I don't. You didn't know that they were friends? No, I did not know that. During the events, do you know friends that killed one another? Yes, there are friends, many friends, who killed one another. Before, Hutus and Tutsis shared everything. Became the parents of children, the godparents of children of the other ethnic group. But if somebody went to seek refuge in the home of his godfather, for example, that godfather would bring him out and the person would be killed. Several witnesses said here that Mr. Akayesu, between the 6th and the 18th, protected Tutsis. What do you think of such a statement? I do not know anything about it. Can you give us details of the circumstances that preceded Mr. Ntereye's death? I told you that he was first put in prison, and those who put them in the prison felt that he should first reveal the secrets of the Nkutanyis. Who put him in that prison, asked the council. It is Kaesu who asked the police to put him in prison or jail. Could you describe to us the jail? That jail is found behind the Bureau Communal. Mr. President, with the authorization of the tribunal, I will request that the slide exhibit 127 be projected. You have the floor, counsel. Thank you, Mr. President. I would like to know whether the witness can recognize the sketch. It is not very clear to me. Maybe to help you, I'll tell her where the Bureau Communal is found. Yes, says the witness. The Kigali Road passes here. Yes, says the witness. Now, if the Bureau Communal is located here, where would the prison be? The prison was behind the Bureau Communal. Here? The diagram is not clear to me. What I know is that the prison was found behind the Bureau Communal. The diagram is not clear to me. That is not serious, Mr. President. That's okay. I have finished, Mr. President. The council has a floor. Do you know the Interahamwes who killed your husband? I was able to recognize some of them because I saw them. Are they free or they are at the moment detained? They have been detained. They are in prison. You said that the Interahamwe came to get people from the Bureau Communal to kill them. But why did people come to seek refuge at the Bureau Communal, knowing very well that they were exposing themselves to danger? I told you that my husband was able to move and to go and hide himself. When he was at the Bureau Communal, he was beaten and his head was wounded. When they took care of other people, when they were taking care of other people, he escaped and went to hide himself. I explained to you that he was found in his hideout because somebody who was located in a hideout close to the Bureau Communal was told that he would be taken to Tinhira. That is the name they had given to the place where they killed people. That place was dubbed Kinihira, CND or CND. And the person to be killed was led to that place. Madam, you talked to us about the Interahamwe who came to the Bureau Communal on vehicles. Who owned those vehicles? All vehicles were mobilized, they were taken wherever they were found. Because they said that it was a major task to be able to get rid of the enemy. And the owners of the vehicle could not say no. So there were requisitioned vehicles. Is that correct? There was even a vehicle that belonged to the commune and others that belonged to businessmen, to traders. All these vehicles were used for this purpose. The owners of the vehicle, did they have the possibility of refusing to give their vehicles? That I do not know. Do you think that at that time there was an authority who could stop the activities of the Interahamwes? Nobody stopped those activities. For example, if those activities had been stopped, the Buckmaster Akayesu could have done so. For example, the day when I went to go and ask for an attestation for my children, if he had put the council's or the commune's stamp on the attestation, my children would no longer have been pursued. Did Mr. Kaisu have the possibility of stopping the massacres in Taba commune? He could have done so because he was the leader of the commune. He organized a meeting, and the population came to that meeting. If in the course of that meeting he had asked the people to stop massacres, and if someone who had killed was put in prison, this should not have continued. During your stay at the Bureau Communal, did you see people in military uniform? Once I saw two military men. I was taken away together with my children to the place where people were killed. And when a military personnel saw that we were asked to, were ordered to sit down, I was told that I had refused to deliver, to give up the children of a serpent, and that I was going to be killed if I was not careful. The soldier told them that instead of going to deal with the Inkutanis at the front, you are killing children, whereas the children are innocent. They have never done politics. The misfortune you have is that if there is a survivor, that survivor will turn against you. The soldier took me away and told me to return to my hideout and did not want to be present when children were killed. He was passing by when he said that, and continued on his way. These people in uniform, were they soldiers of the Rwandese armed forces or militia men? They were military men or soldiers of the army. The person I saw often in military uniform who was an Interahamwe was Silas Rugimana, who called himself Colonel. He even had a close bodyguard. And during meetings, that close bodyguard would be behind him, and the guard were armed with guns. What were the powers of Mr. Silas Kurimana at Taba? We saw him act like a soldier. He was in uniform. He had a weapon, he had a gun. He was often with Akayesu. They were the ones who apparently were the leaders of the commune. What were the official functions of Silas Rugiman? It was said that he was an entrepreneur. And we never knew how he became a soldier, how he obtained military uniforms and a gun. Even the young people of the Interahamwe had received guns and grenades. Between Silas Kubimwana and Akayesu, who had authority over the other? It is Akayesu because he was the leader of the commune. If he had not been the leader, he would have given powers to Silas, who apparently wanted to replace him. The close bodyguard of Akayesu, did it have more members than that of Mr. Silas Kuibuimana? They were all together. I saw them on that day. They were behind the two men, and they were with their guns ready to shoot. This was during the meeting. You said that during the meeting, there was Kuibuimana and Akayesu, and it was Kuibuimana who presided at the meeting. Is that correct? You did not understand what I said. The person who presided at the meeting is the person who took the floor first, and that is Akayesu. And Kuibuimana took the floor later on. Who presided at the meeting? It is Akayesu, because he is the one who convened the population to the meeting. And it is he who addressed the population first. And he thanked the population for having responded to his invitation. The councillors of the commune, did they also participate in that meeting? Yes, they were present at the meeting because they were in support of the massacres. You said that Mr. Akayesu accompanied the Interahamwe when they went to attack people in other places. Can you be more explicit on that point? I can explain, because after having found the documents that I mentioned, they found the documents in the classroom of Rukukuvunda. And when they came with those documents to the Bureau Communal, it was said that he was going to become minister or prefect. And it is at that moment that Akayesu said that he knew where Rukudakuvuga had sought refuge. And he said that they should go and look for him and that they were going to find him. Mr. Rukudakuvuga, was he killed because he was going to become a minister or because he was a Tutsi? Because he was a Tutsi, and it was said that he used to bring the Tutsis together, asking them to make contributions that he had to forward to Kimihira. Did you ever see Mr. Akayesu drive a vehicle? When they got into the vehicle, he was in the vehicle, but the vehicle was driven by someone else. Do you know the name of the driver? I do not know the name of the driver. Did Mr. Akayesu ask you to present your identity card? I showed him my ID when I told him I was a Hutu woman. Then I asked him to give me an attestation for my children. And he replied to me that it is not you who made these children become Tutsis, and that when rats are killed, even the female who are in the form of a fetus are not spared. He was with the councillor of our sector, they said that I had been married by those people, but that they knew better their origins. Did other persons ask you to present your identity card? Yes, they asked me for my ID, and they realized. You stated that after the death of your husband, you returned home. Is that correct? No, it is not to my house that I returned because my house had been destroyed. And no Hutu woman could go to property belonging to the husband. They were told that we no longer had a right to such property. They shared such property as we left. You talked about miscarriage. Were you aided by a third party during the miscarriage? I miscarried because of the beating and also because I was living outside under rain. I miscarried after the death of my children. It is my elder sister who came, who found me, and she was threatened by the population. She was told that she was supporting a mother of the Nkotanyis. Nobody could give me any medicine to treat me. I was able to have treatment after the present government came to power. And those who knew where I was brought medicines to me. Do you know teachers of Rukuma who were killed? I was a woman, and I did not know those teachers. I was able to know Rukumva Kuvuga, taxis, as well as a girl who was called Girante, and who was killed together with her fiancé. I did not know the others. What was your husband's profession? He was a farmer and livestock breeder. How many acts of rape did you witness? The rape I witnessed was that of a woman who was selected from among other women at the Bureau Communal. Another case was that of Chantal, the girl whom I saw do exercises when she was naked. And they said that they were going to sleep with her first. Another case was that of a woman whom I saw spread out on the road, surrounded, and a piece of wood was being forced into her genital organ. She was in agony. She was not yet dead. All the women raped, were they killed? Some of them were killed, and the others came out physically disabled. Others caught AIDS. And yet others contracted incurable diseases because they do not have the means to have treatment. There are associations that come to our aid and which provide us free treatment since we have no means. Who told you that some of those women had contracted AIDS? Some of them were examined by these associations which came to our aid, and it was realized that they had contracted the HIV, that AIDS. Do you know Mr. Gaizi's wife? It is those cases that I mentioned to you that I saw, who were in agony and in whose genital organs pieces of wood were being inserted. Do you know her husband, Mr. Gaizi? I did not know him. I knew the name of that woman because people said that that woman was the wife of Gaizi. Do you know Mr. Gaizi's ethnic group? No. It was said that his wife was a Tutsi. When he was killed, it was said that
she was found with a radio and was in communication with the Nkotanyis. Was it customary to rape Tutsi women married to Hutu men? It all depended. If the person was thought to be an intellectual, he would go to the Nkotanyis, but most of them were left alone. Because it was said that these women deliver Hutu children. Is it imaginable that Hutus would rape the women of other Hutus? They were not raping them. Why then did Gaizi's wife rape Gaizi, who is Hutu? It was said that the woman was in communication with the Nkotanyis and that she had a radio which she used to communicate with the Nkotanyis. That is why she was killed. Was the radio found? They said that they found the radio, but they never showed it to anybody because no one saw it. The radio was like the documents. They were pretexts to kill people. The radio, like the documents, were pretexts to kill people. Could you talk to us about Mr. Erguion in detail? Erdion. In what connection? In respect of acts of rape. What I have just told you, I was not responsible for looking or seeing the women who had been taken away or raped. I'm telling you what I saw. Mr. Erdium, did he rape women? Who is Erdium? I don't know him. Erdium. Erdium. Maybe you are mispronouncing the name. He had a house behind the Bureau Communal. He was called Eridion. The council says that probably is the same person. I do not know whether he raped women. You stated before the prosecutor that the rapists were Eridion, Mbongo, Nirikindi, Abarwema, Kimunyo. Do you maintain that statement? Can you repeat all the names, counsel? I did not mention the name of Eridion. This is page 6 of the records. I quote, she was taken to the Bureau Communal. She was beaten and then raped. The rapists were Eridion, Bongo, Nirikindi, Abarurema, Munyo, and several others. Maybe that is not my statement. I remember having talked about Abarurema, Bongo, because I saw them with my own eyes, and Nirikindi, and others whose names I did not know. But I did not talk about Eridion with regard to the raping of women. I'll give the floor to Judge Aspigrain. Madam, please, if you did not talk about Eridion in connection with rapes, did you talk about Eridion in connection with the murder of the young teacher? I believe you said before today that there was a young teacher who was killed near the Bureau Communal while it was raining. I said that I found in Trehamwe who were with my husband in front of Herodion's home, because Herodion was living behind the Bureau Communal. I told you that is where I found him when he when he told him, when my husband told him to have pity on him, to give him time to speak to his wife. Is it only on that occasion that you were able to see Heredion act? I told you I found in Terehamwe who had put my, who had surrounded my husband in front of Heredion's home, they were armed. I also told you that they told my husband to hurry up, to talk to me quickly. I started crying, they dragged him away, they took him away. And my husband told me, bye, he bid me farewell, that his fate was sealed. Thank you, madam, says Judge Aspergreen. Now I would like to come back to the question asked by Judge Aspergreen, says the president. It would appear that this morning you talked about the death of a teacher, the first teacher who was killed, and that teacher was working at the technical school of Rukoma. I talked about taxes he was taken from behind the Bureau Communal where he was living. Is that the first teacher who was killed? Yes. Who killed him? Who, since you were present, who killed Taxis? It is the Ntrehambwis. She had given names. Which are those names? There was Bongo, Habarurema, Rutukwo, Francois, and Heredion is not among. No. Those who were there were the communal police. How many cases of rape did you witness? I explained to you that I saw them take the women to the cultural center which was there, and the girl called Chantal, who was tortured by being asked to take off her dress. And the woman whom I met, in whose genital organ people were inserting pieces of wood. Could you give us the names of the other women? We were there as refugees and we did not know their names. You did not know the name of the woman called...
We have some concern about the mentioning of names of people who have survived, who might have been witnesses.
Prosecutor, if you want to ask, I'll take the floor, you ask for it and we'll give it to you. The prosecutor is requesting that the witness should not mention the names of survivors. We understand, Mr. President, says the counsel. Anonymity can be justified only if it represents a risk for people who could come before the tribunal later on. Not necessarily, says the president. The names of persons mentioned are names of people who are already dead, says the council. That is not yet been established, says the president. It is in the record, replies council. Are you referring to the women who were raped? Were all of them killed? Earlier on, she said all of them were not killed. There are some of them who have been disabled, she said. Some of them were released and who sought refuge elsewhere. Therefore, says the president, some of them are still alive. They have AIDS, they are disabled, but they're alive. Counsel says that the witness witnessed the raping of three women. Out of the three women, two died, only one survived. And I'm asking her to mention the name of some of those women. She was unable to do so. I think we should proceed in an orderly manner. She confirms that she mentioned three women, two of whom were killed, and one survived. Now we'll ask her whether she confirms that, and what are the names of the two women who were killed. First of all, does she confirm that she declared to the prosecutor that she knows three women who were raped, two of whom were killed, and one who survived? I confirm there is Cecile Rukwa Musaga, who was from our sector. She is the one who survived. So her name should not be given. This is precisely what we were saying. This is what I wanted to avoid, to give the names of survivors. Do you know Tutsi women who were saved by Hutus or unmarried persons, unmarried males? Are you referring to bachelors or married males who saved Tutsi women? I know those who took them during the war. But in the meeting, it was said that those who had women, or Tutsi women, would see their houses destroyed and that would be asked to pay a fine. There is a young man who was living below the hill. He had a girl whom he decided to keep in his house. In that meeting, he was told to hand over the girl and to give them money. He was taken away forcibly and his house was searched. And the assailants who came from that meeting, well, we heard that the assailants took him to Kinihira to kill him, to kill her, or to kill him, and he paid a fine. During the war, did Hutus marry Tutsis in order to save them? Some of them did that, but after this meeting, those women were looked for, they were taken away forcibly and killed. Don't ask me many things. I am somebody who has lost her mind because of the problems that have occurred in my life. When you ask me many questions, that is not, those questions are not going to help my own people who died to come back to life. I'm telling you what I saw. And if I'm telling a lie that those people are alive, that they were not killed, I should be punished for that. Madam, I'm also sensitive, touched by your pain or sorrow, but we have the duty to know the truth. It is not a pleasant duty for me to ask you these questions. I think this also depends on the freedom. These questions may also lead to the freedom of an individual. I am at last going to conclude. You talked about a certain Chantal who was raped after having done some exercises. Did you know that young lady, Chantal? This is the reason why I knew this young girl. I knew her during this war, when I found her in a place where she was hidden. We met there when I was asking those people to also hide my children. And they told me, this is another person we are hiding. We cannot hide many people, they said, especially as we are living very close to the Bureau Communal, they said. Did that person survive after the rape? She was killed because when she was taken away to be raped, I left. I heard it said that the Interahamwes were wicked people. They sleep with a girl and thereafter they kill her. Did you know the people who killed your husband? I know some of those who killed my husband. I knew the names of some of them. The others, I do not know them because when I was there, I lived as a girl. There is a proverb in my country which says that the house of the girl is where she was married, is where she is married. Some of them I did not know because I had not been living there for a long time. During your stay at the Bureau Communal, did you see Mr. Caeso kill someone?
I saw him supervising the interhamways.
I saw him with the firearm, whereas before he did not have the firearm.
I did not see him kill someone, apart from the fact that he gave orders for people to be killed, and people were killed before him.
Counsel asked, did you see him rape a woman? Did you see Akaisu rape a woman?
No, I did not. If I did, I would have said so here. I would not say what I did not see. I have ended, Mr. President.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, says the witness. The prosecutor, do you have additional questions?
No further questions, but I would like to request that the name of the surviving rape victim be removed from the record.
I'll give the floor to Judge Pillay.
Witness KK, I'm really sorry about the loss and suffering that you have endured. I have a few questions. You referred to Chantal as a child. How old was she?
I did not know her age because we only knew one another during the war. But it was said that she was a student in a secondary school.
Before the war, were you and your husband, being a mixed marriage, were you accepted by your neighbors?
We were living in good relations without problems. Except when there were problems, I believe in 1991, and the houses of some Tutsis were destroyed, and we went to live on the hills. But the situation, calm, returned. Houses did not continue to be destroyed, and those who did that, who destroyed houses, were imprisoned. That is why this time, again, we went to the commune, thinking that it was going to be like the first time and that the burgmaster was going to take care of the situation.
The situation really worsened, the killings worsened after the meeting that was addressed by the accused?
Yes. After the meeting, they started searching houses and a Hutu who had hidden a Tutsi drove him away because that was an order given by the burgmaster. As for we, Hutu women, people came to even search in our homes, saying that we should go and die together with our husbands and children, since we had decided to live together with Tutsis.
Now this attestation certificate that you spoke of, and you said that if the accused had issued you one, it would have saved your children. So my question is, did the accused have the power to issue such a certificate?
Yes, he had the power because it was the person who was leading, still leading the commune. He was going to write his children have the right to live in this sector because that's where I was taking refuge. He could put this commune stamp and anyone could come and look, find it. And I was going to show him the burgmaster's attestation, or he was going to hold a meeting and say, I stop people from going to such houses in this commune. But he did not do that. And on the other hand, he's told people, go search everywhere, and if you find a person hiding someone else, they'll pay a fine, and his animals will be given as a reward to people who killed. And the person who was hiding Tutsis also had to pay a fine of 5,000 francs.
that you lost the right to own your husband's property and that it was distributed?
Yes.
Was that because you were a Hutu married to a Tutsi, or was that something that happened to all widows?
That happened to Tutsis. Even if the wife of the Tutsi was a Hutu, she did not have a right to live on the property. You could not take anything away from the property.
Thank you.
The accused. Thank you, Mr. President. As I always, you might ask my counsel if I have any questions. I would like to ask, if you allow me, to talk to my counsel for a few seconds before you give him the floor to end the cross-examination. Do you want to talk to your counsel? The accused always has the last. There's the last one person to have the floor. Okay. In the meantime, I would like to ask a question to the witness. According to her, she survived. Thanks to God, because she's a Hutu. This could be a miracle from God, because when I was beaten, while I was pregnant, I could have died. I wasn't fed, and I was under in the rain. Did you feel the assailants? Did you feel like they were they had the intent to kill you? Did you feel that they had the intention to kill you? They hit me so that I could reveal the secrets my husband brought back from Kimirira. Did they hit you to kill you? No. Thank you. The defense has the floor. Madam, my client says that she gave you an assistation so that you can move around with your children. Do you recognize that fact? Does he say that he gave me the attestation? Can he state that for a fact? If he had given that to me, why didn't I go everywhere? If he had given it to me, I would have stayed there. Where were your children killed? Which sector? I do not know well the place, but the Interahamwe's arrested me. I was fleeing from the place where I had hid my children, and I was saying I should go to a sector which was not near the commune. But this was still in Taba, and I fled, left one problem and went towards another, because the orders of Akayesu were the same in that his commune. It's because I think he thinks that I'm lying. There was never a genocide. I think God is my witness that he has never given me a witness, an attestation. I cannot forgive him because I cannot blame him here, because it's not going to bring back my people. If he had not caused problems, and you should admit, and any other person should, the people happen in that way, and should ask for pardon. Instead of asking for pardon, he is saying things that I didn't say. If I'm the only person coming here to testify about Taba, that may be punished for that. A lot of Tutsis were killed in his commune. If we could show them where they've been killed, buried, the place is very big, and a lot of people came to help us to rebury the bones. And they all saw that. It's a disease which came to kill these people. If let him explain that, if that's the case. I'm asking the witness to come down. This happens because he's lying. Mr. President, if the witness had not been in the sector of Rugoma, is it true that she was in the sector of Rugoma? I went there when I was fleeing from Taba, which is in the commune of Taba. Because in this commune, there were roadblocks everywhere. And when I arrived at the roadblock in Bugoba, they took their children, and that's where my ID card was thrown away. And my children was taken away, saying they were going to be judged by the prefect, whereas the prefect was the river. I was able to ask them to leave me with the kid I had in on the back. And they answered that Rugema did not have any problems. They left in the wombs of their mothers and in the backs of their mothers. I lost my people, and I'm not even asking that they, I like asking him to die, but I'm asking him to ask for mercy, that he says he should not going to do that again. That's it, Mr. President. Thank you very much, counsel. Thank you very much, Witness Cake. You have the floor. Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I am very sorry. If you allow, I would like to talk to the tribunal, but with a closed-door session. The rules of procedure allow you to give your own testimony, and you'll do it sincerely. You cannot otherwise directly talk to the tribunal, but you can ask to give testimony on certain facts under oath. Do you understand that? I'm not sure I understand, Mr. President. There are two situations. Either you will want to question, you want to ask questions in closed door session, you know that you can't do that. Or there are points which are raised here on which you want to give testimony at that point in time. The tribunal will allow you to do it under oath, but only under oath. Maybe to better answer your question, Mr. President, I don't go raise something I didn't want to talk about. I could explain that right now. No. That's the problem you can resolve with your problem, with your counsel, before the session tomorrow. The witness will be gone tomorrow. You have counsel. Tell your counsel to ask the questions that you want to be asked. Therefore, there will be no misunderstanding. Tell him the question you want to ask. Mr. President, I have tried. You gave me the chance a few minutes ago, but I think this needs a long explanation. So I have information which from reliable sources. I'd like my defense to ask questions, and we're not agreed on that. That's the problem. Because I think there are questions which would be of interest to the tribunal, and I am not in agreement with my counsel on the manner in which these questions should be asked. Akayezu Jean-Paul, I am telling you, I may accept if my colleagues don't disagree, the tribunal will, you could come and ask your counsel the questions you want to ask. Thank you, Mr. President, but I would ask you patients. Go ahead, ask your counsel the questions so we can resolve all the misunderstanding.
Accused, is it everything okay? Mr. President, I would not say that it's okay, but I think we should let this go by. I will ask you to talk with your counsel later on. There's no reason that your relationship should be go sour. We are going to. I would like to, Mr. Prosecutor, how many more witnesses do we have? It's two witnesses. We will begin Monday with the defense witness. How many defense witnesses do you have at the beginning or in total? I don't think we have not done with the prosecution witness. He said that he only has two more witnesses. In the future, after these two witnesses, how many witnesses do you have? Three witnesses in the immediate. Thank you. It's clear. We be here Monday in Chamber 2. In Chamber 2, Madame Pile is right, is reminding me of a duty which I often forget, as to thank the witness. I was going to forget to do that. Forever agreed to come and just give testimony before this tribunal. We know that it has not been easy because of the past experiences that she encountered, but particularly the loss of her people, which is a very heavy loss. We wish her a happy return journey. Please lead the witness out of the room. So this court is adjourned until Monday on the second floor.